Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. It's already December, can you believe that? Now we are approaching Christmas, December 25th, and we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ is more than a baby being born in a different country 2,000 years ago. The birth of Jesus Christ is the most important celebrating day that we are to all praise Him because of what He has done and because of who He is. And last week we studied from Isaiah chapter 9. We talked about hope with gladness. If you have hope, you are to be filled with gladness, but the hope you have is not the hope for nothing. You have two important reasons for hope. The first reason is for what God has done, and the second reason is for who He is. So we have a hope with gladness because of what He has done in the past and because of who He is. Now, as a continuation of this Advent series, we're going to look at the hope in a different angle from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. There are three C's from this text. The first one is comforting, second one is clearing, and the third one is calling. So comforting, clearing, calling. Three C's. So let's look at one by one, and I will divide into a few different parts. So let's start with chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem, and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Amen. Now, what's going on here? First, there is a word repeated two times here. It says, comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. The first one God does is comforting. And it says, comfort, oh comfort, not just one time, but two times. Whenever you see the repetition in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it means emphasis. So, which means God determined His heart and mind to comfort people. But what kind of people here? It says, my people. Now, listen to this very carefully and think about the situation, what Israel and Judah were going through. Was Israel good people? Well, you may say, oh, Israel, they are the chosen people of God, so they must be holy and righteous, and they must be very different from us. But you are wrong. They are same people, just like us. Sometimes they're even worse than us because they rebelled against God, turned away from God. God kept saying to them, come back to me, come back to me, but they resist God. God saved them out of Egypt, and God cared for them. God led them to the promised land. But regardless of all the wonderful works God has done for them, they rebelled against God. And because of that, you know, God punished them for them being in a different country called Assyria. And that's the context that we see here. The Isaiah was speaking 750 years before Jesus came, and that was the time when Israelites were under the authority of Assyria. They lost their country, they lost their place of worship, they lost their hope, their identity, and literally all things. However, here God is saying, comfort, comfort, I will comfort you. And He said, my people. God is still calling them my people. You are my people, and I am your God. Now, isn't this amazing love and compassion that God has for His people? Now, you may think this way. You are in church on Sunday, and you're reading the Bible sometimes, but Monday through Saturday, you feel like you are so far away from God because you're sinning against God. Yes, you are far away from God if you sin against God, right? We fall so many times, and so many times we can feel like we have so much of a, not just a social distance, but spiritual distance between God and us. So it looks like there's no way that we can reconcile with God because we've been so far away from God. But we need to know this, God's heart. God's heart is saying, you are my people. God is still calling this sinful, rebellious people my people. So He is calling us in the same way that even if you feel like you're far away from God, God is still calling you my son, my daughter, I will comfort you. So please come to the Lord and receive this comfort from the Lord directly. Now let's see how he comforts us. It says in verse 2, call out to her that her warfare has ended. Her war has ended. So God is pronouncing peace to his people Israel. Now Israel was engaged with so many wars because she was surrounded by so many strong countries. And I can relate to that as South Korean. South Korea is a very small country and we are surrounded by strong, mighty countries like China, Japan, Russia, and so many different things, diplomatic things are going on there even now. So in the history, we had so many wars and so many people died. Now Israel was in a very similar situation. But here, good news is that your war has ended. You have peace. What a wonderful news. God is comforting them, comforting Israel with this really important good news. And also the more important news is this. Her iniquity has been removed. In other words, her sins are removed. It doesn't just say your sins are forgiven. It says your sins are removed. Wow, can you feel the difference between forgiven and removed, right? When your sins are forgiven, God is removing your sin just like east is far from the west. Now here is the east, here is the west, and so far away they cannot meet together. Just like that, your sins are removed from the east to the west. Now that is how God is comforting his people right here. And then we're going to go to the next part, which is clearing. The first part is comforting, and the second part is clearing. Let's look at verses 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Now, don't you see this geographical visualization right here in verse 4? Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. What's going on? So is this person going to change all the geographical landmarks? Imagine that you are making all the Appalachian Mountains as a plain ground, so you can go very fast from North Carolina to Tennessee, and you're going to lose all the great scenic view there. So what is going on? Is that what it means here? Of course not. You know, this is a figurative speech. So what is this? What is this meaning here? Now, it means the preparation. Now, what kind of preparation is this? This is the preparation for the arrival of King. So in the verse 3, up there, it says, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Okay, so here, Isaiah is saying this preparation is for the king, but this king is not just a human king. It is the Lord God in the wilderness. But wait a minute, don't you feel like this is similar to something in the New Testament? Yes, you are right. This is exactly the same language what John the Baptist was described. John the Baptist was born slightly before who? Jesus Christ. Why? Because John the Baptist came for the one purpose. That purpose was to prepare for the king to come. John the Baptist said, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. That's why he was called as the voice in the wilderness. He shouted. And what did he say? Repent, turn away from your sin, because the kingdom of God is near. The king is coming. Now, who is this king? You know the answer. This king is Jesus Christ. Now, this Jesus is coming. So you must prepare. How? Through clearing. What is this clearing thing? It is the clearance, preparation of your heart. How? Through repentance. That is why John was saying, repent, calling to everyone to turn away from your sin, because that is the preparation, that is the clearing part for the King to come. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, why should I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. What does this really say? It really showing who we really are, the people's condition. Now, as a continuation of clearance, as we prepare for the glory of God to be revealed to us, we need to recognize who we are so that we can repent from that. We can turn away from that. It says in verse 6, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 through 25 also said, all flesh, all human beings are like grass, and their glory, our glory, is like their flowers. Just think about our situation here. Now, you may have a neighbor who has a really nice car and really good educational background and a six-figure or seven-figure salary, and you may feel like, wow, that guy, that girl is amazing. You know, they live like a king and queen, and you know, one day I want to be like them. But no matter how beautiful outside they have, they look, their glory will be just like a flower. You know, flower is beautiful for maybe a few days, or at most about 10 days or 12 days. But after that, they will grow. They will become so ugly and smelly, and they will disappear just like that. The flower falls off. That is the reality the Bible is talking about. All the grass withers and the flower falls off, and that is the human nature. So we need to turn away from all these things and turn to the Lord, the living, enduring Word of God. So that it says, the Word of God endures forever. The Word of God is eternal. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, also asserts that we are born again by this living and enduring Word of God. Our life does not depend on the flowers and grass that we are all looking into. Our life depends on the Holy Word of God, the Word of God who Jesus is. So we need to depend on Him, and He is the one who defines us. So let's clear our minds. Let's prepare our minds by turning away from all this filthy and temporary things, but turn our mind and turn our eyes, fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is forever and eternal. So that is the second part, which is clearing. And then the third one is calling. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Now here's the key word here. When God calls you, He is calling you to do what? Say. That's the key word. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. So God comforts you, and God clears your mind and prepares your mind, and God calls you to say, to speak, and to share His word. Now, the Israelites were in a very stressful situation, but God is here to say and speak to them, to comfort them, to clear them. Now, somebody needs to speak up on behalf of God, so that God is calling us to speak and to share His word. Now, His word here is a good news. Now, Israelites were, they had so many wars in their life, and their sins were so many. However, God is pronouncing to them, your sins are forgiven, your sins are removed, and your war has ended. So there is a good news to share, to speak up to them. So likewise, God is calling us, God is calling you to share this good news. In Christ Jesus, just like the war has ended, in Christ Jesus, Jesus won the victory. In Jesus, He overcame the world. So there is a complete victory in it, in Him. So you have won if you are in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ Jesus, your sins are removed. Your sins are forgiven because Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead to give you eternal life. This is the good news. Is there any better news than that? We need to share this good news to anyone. We need to speak up this news to the people around you, to your family members, to your co-workers, to your friends, and everyone that you know of. Speak this word. This is God's calling for us. Now, why this is important? Because the King who is coming is a good King. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with His arm ruling for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. Like a shepherd, He will tend His flock. In His arm, He will gather the lambs and carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. You see what's going on here. The first, in verse 10, it says, He will come with might, meaning that He has the power, and with His arm ruling for Him, He is King who rules. But in verse 11, it says, like a shepherd, He will tend His flock. He will carry them in His bosom. What does He really saying? The coming King is not like a human king. He is a mighty King, full of power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not in the words, but in the power. It is the powerful kingdom. And the King in that kingdom is powerful. So God is a God of power, and He rules with the power. But at the same time, He is a loving King. It says He is the shepherd. He carries, He cares for His flock, His sheep. So you need to look at this combination, the power and love coming together. And that is our God, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very important theme all throughout the Bible. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, when God revealed Himself to Moses, He says, I am who I am. That shows that He is a mighty God. He is one and only God. But at the same time, He says, I will be with you. That shows He's a loving God, that He will never leave you, never forsake you. He is God who comforts you, who encourages you, so who is always with you. So you see the combination there. It's so important to know this. Because if God is just a powerful God but not loving, then there is no one can live. But if God is just a loving God but no power, then there is no moving. There's no getting forward, and we'll be always defeated by Satan. And that is not good. That is not the King. That is not God that we want to serve. God is perfectly powerful, yet God is also perfectly loving. And this King is coming. So this is surely good news. So that we need to speak up. God is calling you as to the best job ever. Now, I know you have a lot of jobs, and maybe you have a job in the marketplace, or you have a job in the clinic, and you have a job in the school, and you're a student, and you have all kinds of jobs you have. I'm not saying you have to quit your job right now. You need to continue in your job and do your best to be excellent in their job so that you have opportunities to speak up and share this good news, because that is what God has called you to share, the good news of Jesus Christ and what kind of King and what kind of shepherd He is. So God is comforting you, and God is clearing you, and God is calling you to share this good news. But think about just for a moment this combination of comforting, clearing, and calling. God did not just call you without comforting. Or God did not just comfort you without calling. But God does both of them. And God clears you in between. Now think about Elijah. Elijah was called by God to do great work. However, you know, he ran away from Jezebel and he felt like so miserable about himself. And he felt like, I failed God. God, please kill me right now. Death is better than living. But do you know what God did? God comforted Elijah. God gave food. God fed Elijah. And then God called him again to go and stand up and do his work. It's the same with Peter. After Peter denied Jesus three times, he may have felt like, I failed God so badly, and I'm just going to go back to my old job and, you know, I'll die there. But Jesus showed up to Peter, and Jesus comforted Peter first by feeding him, giving fish, and then Jesus called Peter to shepherd the flock. You see the combination there? God is good. He comforts you first. But he does not leave you there. God calls you to work together for his kingdom. 8 years ago, 9 years ago, there was a point of crisis in my life that I was almost at the point of giving up my ministry. So, you know, I was about to tell all my church members. However, that day, that night, in my prayer, God comforted me so much through his word. So my mind was totally changed and transformed that day. And God, not only he comforted me, and next he called me again for his ministry. So this is how great God is, how good God is. God comforts you. Look at how God comforts you in Isaiah. You know, in we've been studying the chapter 40, but right next chapter 41, you see how God comforts you. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you see the comfort here? God is saying, do not fear. I am with you. The same God who was with Moses is with Isaiah and with us. He comforts you. Even if you feel so distant from God, God is still calling you his people. My son, my daughter. And he is saying, I am with you. And then the next chapter, chapter 42, we say God is calling. Look at chapter 42, verses 5 through 7. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Amen. You see the language here? God is calling. Now, in this context, God has called Jesus. Now, this is fulfilled in Jesus' life, but it just does not end there. Jesus is continuing in our life and fulfilling his ministry through us, meaning that he is calling you in his ministry. How can it be? In John 14, 12 says, if you believe in me, you will do the work that I do, and even greater work than I do. Okay, you see that what's going on here? Jesus is calling you to do the same work he did, an even greater work than what he did. So this is the amazing, amazing connection. So the first, God comforts you. Second, he clears you. And third, he calls you for his ministry. So that's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because through birth of Jesus Christ, through his life, through his death and resurrection, all these things, calling, clearing, and the comforting, all three things happen in our lives so that we can have hope in Christ Jesus alone in this hopeless time. So I pray and hope that this would be encouragement for you. So hear God's comforting you, and hear God's clearing you, and hear God's calling you today. Now, if you are not a believer, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus Christ. He is God who comforts you. You cannot find any other, any better comforts than outside of Jesus Christ Himself. So come to Jesus. He says, come to me, I will give you rest. So come and experience His rest today. If you are already a believer, listen again. Even if you feel like you failed God, do not worry. He still loves you. So hear His comfort and be cleared and listen to His calling in your life again. He loves you. He will use you for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You for this message. Father, we thank You that You are comforting us and You clear us and You call us still now. So Father, I pray that our eyes would be opened and our ears would be opened as well, so that we can see and hear Your comforting and Your clearing and Your calling in our life for Your kingdom, Lord. Father, please help us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' holy name I prayed. Amen.